Afchav Gimel Amud Aleph, 10 lines up from the bottom of the Amud with the two dots. Amar Rav Huna. Now we said before on Afchav Aleph that an Er Chanukah should be placed Al Pesach Beisomi Bachutz. What's the din if you have two different psachim, two different openings? Each one faces a different part, a different street, right? Your house is situated between two streets. Amar Rav Huna Chatzar Sheyesh La Shnei Psachim Tzricha Shtei Neros. You have to light a Ner Chanukah on each one of the two Psachim. And Rava says Lo Amaran Ela Mishtei Ruchos Avol Miruach Achas Lo Tzarech. If let's say he has two different Psachim going into the same house from the same side, that doesn't require an extra candle. We're only worried about a situation where you have an opening on this side and then an opening to your house on the other side. My timer. What's the reason why he needs two candles on two psachim? Ilema mishum chashada. If because the passers-by on this side of the street will not know if there's no candle there that he lit Chanukah candles on the other side, on the other Pesach, facing the other street, is chashoda de man. Ilema chashoda de alma, as we said before, those who pass by, the bnei ha'ir, and they don't realize that this bias has another Pesach on the other side, so therefore they came to the conclusion that there's no Ner Chanukah in this house, and they're going to think that he's not being mekayem the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Afilu beruach achas nami liboy, then we should require lighting two candles and two psachim, even if it's on the same side, and we should still have a problem of chashoda. So that's called chashoda di alma, and chashoda di alma means that we're going beyond the people who live in the city. People from outside the city, they have no idea that there's another Pesach. The people in the city might know that this house is structured in such a way that it faces two different streets, and it probably has a window on both streets. They're not going to come to be choshedim. But we're worried now about the Alma. The people are not Bnei Ha'ir. They're from the outside. Let's say they're visiting here. They don't know that there are two psachim in this bias. They begin to suspect him that he's not lighting their Chanukah. So the Gemara says, if that be the case, even if there are two openings, two doors on the same side, we still should have chashada, because it's quite possible that those who are here from the outside of the city, Me'alma Kasi, then they don't see the second Pesach even on this side. V'chashad is b'nei Masa. If on the other hand we're worried only about the b'nei Ha'ir, the people who live locally, and they know that this is one house and it has two Pesachim, then afilu mishnei ruchos nami lo liboy. Even if he has two windows on two sides or two doors on two sides, they know that it's one house, and if they don't see a candle in this side, they'll assume that he lit on the other side. We are worried about the people in the city. We're not worried about people from outside of the city. They don't calculate into the equation. They're not around, and they're probably not walking the streets at night when he lights their Chanukah. So now we're focusing our attention on the people locally. And as far as two psachim on the same tzad, one candle would be enough, because the local people, the Bnei Ha'ir, know it's all one house and there are two different openings. However, if there are two different openings facing two different sides of the street, zimnin, it could be possible in certain occasions, de mechalfei b'hai v'lo mechalfei b'hai, that they happened to walk down this street, this side of the street. They didn't walk down the other side of the street. And Amri, maybe they'll say to themselves, you know what, I don't see a candle on this side. Is kihechi, just like the Baha'i Pischa lo adlik, he didn't light on this side. Baha'i Pischa nami lo adlik, he didn't light on the other side. And therefore, there's a chashad. So the Gemara's conclusion is that we don't assume that the local people will guess that, you know, he didn't light on this side, but he lit on the other side. We're not going to rely on that, but rather we're going to be choshesh, we're going to be worried about chashad. And if he doesn't light on both sides, then that's a problem. They'll suspect him. The Ran says that he doesn't make a bracha on the second candle, the second kindling. He only makes one bracha. The other Pesach is only mishum chashada. We don't make a bracha on a chashada. And now the Gemara wants to know, in general, what's the source, minot temra, from whence do we derive the chashin l'chashad, that we have to worry about people suspecting him? And the Gemara answers, this sanya we learned in the Brayso on Reb Shimon, b'shvil arba dvarim omer Torah laniach peah b'sof sadeh, the four different reasons why peah should be left for the aniyim at the end, at the corner of his field. Number one is mipnei gezel aniyim. Number two is mipnei bitul aniyim. Number three is mipnei achashad. And number four is mishum bal techala. And now the Gemara is going to explain these four different reasons one by one. Mipnei gezel aniyim. Why are we afraid that he might steal aniyim? Shelo yiroya balavayis shah pnuya. That perhaps while the Balbais is harvesting his field, he'll see that there's a certain hour when there are no aniyim around. And v'yomer l'krovo ani, he'll invite his buddy, perhaps his first cousin, a relative who's a poor person, and he'll notify him, you know, he'll pick up the phone or send him a WhatsApp message, harezo peya. You know, come in and take the payah. This is a great time to take the payah. There are no other aniyim around, so grab it quickly before they come. And in effect, he is stealing from the other aniyim. They don't even get a right. They don't even get a shot at this payah. So the Torah says, separate the payah at the end, the corner of your field. The aniyim who are waiting at the gates of the field. Eagerly waiting for the Balbais to finish, to complete his harvest, and they'll come and take the payah. The Balbais will not be able to jump the gun and set up a situation where his karov will come in first. And now we turn to Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Then we get to the second reason why the Chachamim required that the payah be left b'sof sadeu, mipnei bitul aniyim. And the Gemara explains, "Shlo yu aniyim yoshvim umeshamrim." We shouldn't have to require that the aniyim should sit there waiting at the opening of the field during the entire period of the harvest, and they'll say, "Oh, achshav beniach balabais peah." Maybe now he's going to leave peah. But since the balabais is required to leave peah at the sof hakotzir, then the aniyim will know exactly when he's going to get to the end of his field. They know it's going to take him a week to do his harvest till he gets to the end of the field, and they're not going to waste a week waiting around at the gates till he leaves payah. They'll assume, because that's what the halacha is now requiring, that his payah will be left at the end of the harvest, at the end of the field. And the third thing is mitnei chashad. What are we worried about? Shalo yu ovrim v'shavim omrim tovo ma'ora or me'era li'odam shalo iniach peah b'sadeu. In other words, people passing by and they get close to the field at the time of the end of the harvest and they see, wait a minute, he didn't leave any peah. They don't realize that he left peah before that. And the aniyim already came and took the payah before the end of the harvest season. And they start cursing him out. But if, on the other hand, we're going to require that he separates his payah, as Reb Shimon says, b'sof sadeu, and fulfills the mitzvah of and he avoids the law of lo sechala, so he should be mafrish his peah b'sof sadeu, and the people realize that they don't they shouldn't anticipate that he would have given payah before that. And maybe he, you know, he did something to the payah, whatever suspicions they might have, they'll realize that the payah is going to come at the end of the harvest. Meaning, if he would leave payah before he gets to Sof Sadehu, they'll be choshidim because they came at the end of the Ketzira, they didn't know he already gave payah. So, let's make sure that he puts payah, he leaves his payah b'Sof Sadehu. Finally, Mishum Bal Techala, he has to leave some payah before he completes his harvest. So the Gemara is wondering about this fourth reason. Otu kulu lav mishum bal techala ninu. All the reasons that we gave are all, shall we say, revolve around this issue of bal techala. The Torah tells us to leave payah while we're harvesting our field, and not to harvest all of the field. So what is this price of adding mishum bal techala? Omar Rava, what the price has in mind is Mipnei Aramoyim. There are Aramoyim, there are swindlers who actually violate Bal Techala. They don't leave payah, and they claim, well, we already left payah at the beginning of the harvest, and the Aniyim took it away, which is all a bluff. But now that we require that at the end of the last piece of his Ketzira, he's got to leave payah, the Aramoyim are not going to be able to say, well, we already left payah. We know that you're at the end of the Ketzira, now's the time to be mafresh pay. In any event, the third of the four reasons was chashad, and this is a source that we were looking for the concept of chashad. And in the case of a chotzer sheyesh lo shnei ptochim, we have this chashad. Now we're going to talk about a ner, and back in the time of Chazal, the ner that was used as a lamp, so to speak, to light up, was a utensil, a kli. It was a receptacle, and they would pour shemen into this receptacle, and they would put in a psila. It was usually made of pottery. It was covered with a lid, and of course, the wick would go into that hole on the lid. That was the nekev, otherwise known as the pi haner. That's where the psila went in and out, and part of the wick obviously went above the kisui. Now our sugya is going to deal with the case of a ner that has two different holes for two different wicks on two different sides of this covering, and the question is, can that count as two neros? Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Redifa, Amar Rav Huna, ner sheyeshlo Sheish lo shnei pios, if you have a ner that has two of these openings, and with these openings he puts in two psilos to light ner Chanukah, is olu l'shnei b'nei adam. We said that the Mahadrin light ke minyan kol echad ve'echad of the b'nei abayis. So now if you have two b'nei abayis, you could be able to with this one kli that has two psilos. And each psila sets up its own ner. The chiddush here is that we could have thought that the definition of the ner depends not on the psilos, but rather on the shemen, or the kli that holds the shemen. And there's only one kli. Amar Rava, Rava adds another din, mile ka'ara b'shemen. He fills up a bowl with oil, the kifa psilos, and he puts in many psilos around the outside walls of this kara. His kafa alea kli, if he puts a covering over this utensil, this kara, and now each flame is separated from the other one, because this kli has the ability of separating each one of the different psilos, is ola l'kam b'nei adam. In other words, we could be mekayim the mitzvah of mahadrin and consider it as many different neros keneged the anshei habayis. But lo kafa l'kli, if he doesn't cover it over, then asa'a kimin medura. meaning all the flames are going to unite to create one larger flame, like a torch. And that's not the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a ner and not a torch. In such a case, it's a madura, and therefore not even one person will have fulfilled his mitzvah. However, the poskim write, and this is in the Bala Itur and the Tur, that if he was marchik one psila from another one, kishir etzba, then it won't form a madura, and he could be yotzi dechova for a number of different neros. And that would be equivalent to kofal le'akli. Now, what's the source that a madura is disqualified for ner Chanukah? And we use a madura for ner Avdolah, for example. And the answer is that it's not nikar that's l'shem mitzvah. It really looks like he's doing it lahayir for his own personal purposes to illuminate his house. Now, what it says in the Gemara that if it's a madura, then einu yotze afilu liechad. It's not ola even for one person. Which means that even in a case where he lit, and maybe a number of people were called up in his household to light, and each one lit the candle at the same exact time, they're all in sync. If it liku zeh achar zeh, then the Rishon who lit was Yotzi Dechova. According to that opinion, that ner Chanukah shekova ain't sarch shuv ladlika. Because b'shah shehidlik arishon, chaya bekara ner echad bilvad, at this point there's only one ner, but when the second guy lights the additional ner, then there are two neros, and it has a status of a madura. As Mimela, even the first Nair becomes possible. Now the Gemara is going to deal with the case of Kedima, of priority, which comes first, sequentially, Nair Chanukah or other mitzvahs, Omer Rav Pshitali, Nair Besov, Nair Chanukah, Nair Besov, Odif Mishum, Sholom Bayis. Question of Nair Shabbos or Nair Chanukah, let's say he has one candle, and he can't fulfill two mitzvahs with one candle, then he should designate that mitzvah, that candle, for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, because Sholem Bayis is even greater than Persume Nisa. And without the Ner Shabbos, there's no Sholem Bayis. Rishonim raise a very interesting question here, because every night of the week, even if it's not Friday night when he has a special mitzvah of Shalom Bayis of Ner Shabbos, he always has an issue of Shalom Bayis if they're in the dark. So are we going to come to the conclusion, therefore, on every single night of Chanukah, even during the week, he should be lighting a Ner for Shalom Bayis to illuminate his house before he lights a Ner Chanukah? But I think the answer has to be is that every night there's Shalom Bayis, but it's not codified as a chiyuv, an obligation, as a mitzvah. Here, we set it up as a mitzvah, and therefore he has to be more concerned about the chashivas of this mitzvah, which supersedes that of the chashivas of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, as great as the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is. Now, all this is a discussion about a case where he has only one ner, and he can't use it for both mitzvahs. And the question is triage, you know, which mitzvah is greater than the other. One could always ask, why couldn't one ner suffice for both mitzvahs? Unless it's an issue of chavilus, but if he has no other option, maybe there's no issue of chavilus. But I think the answer is poshut, that in the case, and I may have heard this from my Rebbe, in the case of Ner Shabbos, the whole thrust of the mitzvah is to enjoy the Ner Shabbos, to benefit from it. You know, you illuminate the house, but in the case of Ner Chanukah, just the opposite is Osul Ishtamish Liora. The Ritva, by the way, comes to the conclusion that even on every night of the week of Chanukah, first you should light the Ner Bayis to make sure the Shalom Bayis, and then light the Ner Chanukah. I know, in general, our minig is to turn on all the lights before we light the Ner Chanukah for a different reason, not so much for Shalom Bayis, but rather that people should realize that this candle is not for our own purposes, this would be a heker, that it's a Ner Mitzvah. The Rashba writes that Rava certainly holds Osulish Tamishli Orishal Ner Chanukah, because otherwise, as we said before, one candle could serve as both a Ner Shabbos and a Ner Chanukah at the same time. The Ramban writes that from the fact that Rava says Ner Beso Odif Al Ner Chanukah, we should derive the conclusion that we should light the Ner Shabbos first. So that's on Erev Shabbos. We makdim the Ner Shabbos before the Ner Chanukah, and that din of Kedima has to be understood in the light of Kabbalah Shabbos and so forth and so on. Maybe make it tonight, not so. But in any event, the Ramban speaks about Kol HaTadir V'Meshubach Mechaver Kodem Mechaver, meaning that Ner Shabbos has two superior elements here, both the Tadir compared to Ner Chanukah. It's also Meshubach in the sense that it's a Ner of Shalom Bayis, which puts it on a higher level than Ner Chanukah. However, the Ramban does quote the Bahag, who's in favor of lighting Ner Chanukah first because of this issue of Kabbalah Shabbos. So this has to be worked out by Harchava, more complicated. Now, there's another din here that's also poshut and clear, according to Rava, and that is Ner Beso V'kidush Hayom, Ner Beso Adif Mishum Shalom Beso. Ner Bayis is Adif, is more significant than Kiddush Hayom. And the reason for that, once again, is the same reason of Shalom Beso. Now, even though Kiddush is Doraisa, whereas Hadlokas Neiros is only Dorabonon, but nevertheless, the mitzvah of Kiddush, he could be Mekayim with Pas. And not only that, it could be that Kiddush B'Makom Sud itself is only Dorabonon, and Kiddush Doraisa, he was Mekayim with Kiddush and Tefillah. So that we can put Kiddush on the same level as Ner Shabbos, and then decide that Ner Shabbos is Adif because of Shalom Bayis. So let's say he only has enough money to buy wine and not Ner Chanukah, or he could buy Ner Chanukah and not wine, so then he should be... I'm sorry, start again. If he has enough money for Yayin, or alternatively for Ner Shabbos, then he should spend the money on Ner Shabbos. Boy Rava, and this is where I jumped the gun a little bit, Ner Chanukah v'kiddush hayom mahu, which comes first? Ner Chanukah has one advantage, one superior element, and kiddush hayom has another. Now we have to weigh them together. So we're talking about a situation where he only has enough money either for wine, for kiddush, or for Ner for Ner Chanukah. Is Kiddush Hayom Adif? What's the advantage of Kiddush Hayom to Tadir? And we have a principle of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem. And this mitzvah of Kiddush is every single week of the year, every single Shabbos, whereas Chanukah is only 8 days of the year. Oh, Dilma, should we say that Chanukah is an Adifus? Because Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Persume Nisa. And Persum HaNes trumps the mitzvah of Kiddush Hayom on Yayin. Bosa Dibay Hadar Pashto, at the end he came to the conclusion, we don't know exactly why, but Ner Chanukah Adif Mishum Persume Nisa. Now, some of the Rishonim say that the reason why Ner Chanukah trumps Kiddush Hayom is because he's Kiddush, he can make the mitzvah of Kiddush Al HaPas, he doesn't have to spend the money to buy wine. The Bahag points out, and the Rush also, that we should derive from this the conclusion that the din of Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodim is not only Le'inyan Kedima, that one should come before the other one, but it's also din in Dechia, that if we have two mitzvahs and he can only become one of the two, then the Tadir is the one that he should choose. Here, the Gemara chooses Ner Chanukah only because of Persumei Nisa, but if not for that, then Todir V'Sheinu Todir, Todir Kodem. Now, one could argue that the reason why Rava came to this conclusion is not only because he has the option of pass, because then what would be if he doesn't have the option of pass, and not only because he can be Yotzei Kiddush at least on a Doraisa level without neither pass nor Yayin, but additionally because Pirsum HaNes might come under Kiddush Hashem to publicize God's miracle. And Kiddush Hashem goes hand in hand with Chil Hashem. You know, the flip side, the negative side, in the absence of Kiddush Hashem might be Chil Hashem. So given the fact that Pirsum HaNes has such a push that it could be elevated to this category of Kiddush Hashem versus Chil Hashem, that might trump the mitzvah of Kiddush Alakos. In any event, Omer Avhuna, Rogil Ben Ner, someone who is very careful about Ner Shabbos, and possibly also Ner Chanukah Avyin Lon, he will be rewarded with Bonim Talmidei Chachamim. Hazar B'Mezuzah, if a person is careful about Mezuzah, is Zoche, his reward will be Dira Na. That's also Mida Keneged Mida, he'll have a beautiful home. Hazar B'Tzitzis, if one is careful about the mitzvah of Tzitzis, Zoche L'Talis Noah, he will be given the opportunity of fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzis with a talis noah. Hazor b'kiddush hayom, if he's careful about the mitzvah of kiddush, zoche, kiddush here means kiddush al yayin again, zoche umimale garbe yayin, he'll be able to fill up barrels, chavios of yayin. So this is all an expression of the very famous principle called mida keneged mida. The Meiri writes, "Le'olam ye adam zoriz l'kaimis ha-mitzvus kala kibachamura iyata yodeh matin schar shal mitzvah kol makom ye libo somech she'en Hashem mekapeach schar kol birya shemida midaso shal Hashem l'shalei mida keneged mida." God will reward us mida keneged mida. And the Ramban in his Sefer called Emunah Bitachon writes that there's no kibul schar in this world for mitzvahs that a person is obligated to do. But if there are mitzvahs that a person could somehow pater, he could exempt himself, and yet he works hard to be mechayiv, to be mischayiv in the mitzvah, and to be mechayiv in that mitzvah, he'll be zocha d'matan schar in this world. And therefore, azor b'mezuzah would mean that even if he doesn't have a house of his own, and therefore he's not chayiv mezuzah, nevertheless he'll try so hard to be mechayiv himself in mezuzah. Or a person doesn't have a four-cornered garment, he'll put himself into a situation deliberately that he can be mechayiv this mitzvah. And the same is in Kiddush. Let's say he can be Yotzei with someone else's Kiddush, or he can be Yotzei with Kiddush al pas, but he's so careful he wants to make his own Kiddush, and therefore Hashem will reward him in this world, not just in the world to come. Now when it says in Ner Chanukah that Harogil B'Ner, does that mean Ner Chanukah? Rashi seems to assume so. Many Rishonim say that in fact this Zohir of Rav Huna is Ner Chanukah alone. Others say it means any Ner Mitzvah, and therefore it would include not only Ner Shabbos, but also Ner Beis HaKnesses, Ner Beis HaMedrash. And Zahirus here means that he's Madlik at the time that's the proper time to light. He puts enough oil in, he takes care of the Psilos, he makes sure that every single aspect, and this is his Chibud Mitzvah, his love for the Mitzvah. Rav Huna says HaRogil, he doesn't say HaZahir, because these mitzvahs are only derabbanon. Later on, we're going to get to mitzvahs which are d'oraisa, like the case of mezuzah and tzitzis, kiddush hayom. Here, he uses the term hazahir, but in the case of ner, he uses instead the word rogil, because this, as opposed to the other mitzvahs, are only derabbanon. Now there's another element here, that the Iker Mitzvah of Ner Shabbos is incumbent upon the woman, the woman of the household. And it could be that the word Zahirus is a word that's dedicated for the Baal. He has to be Zohir. The Isha, on the other hand, she has to be Rogil. And that's her way of being meticulous and careful about the mitzvah. And when we say that the person who's Zohir in Ner is Havi Le Bonim Talmidei Chachamim, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Ki Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. And we can darshan this as referring to the Ner Mitzvah of Shabbos, Ner Mitzvah of Chanukah, and that brings Or, the Or of Torah, into this world. And he himself will be Zocha to have, not only to have children of a Talmid Chacham, but he himself will be a Talmid Chacham as a reward for this mitzvah. Could be that Rav Hun is talking about a person who is a Talmid Chacham, and the reward is that his children will be Talmid Chacham. Or maybe he's not Roy to be a Talmid Chacham, but his children can be Talmid Chacham. That's the reward. It says that Rav Huna avi rogil davi cholif itoni apischa de Rabbi Ovin nagra. So Rav Huna was very common that he passed the opening to the house, the door to the house of Rabbi Ovin, who was known as a nagar. He was a carpenter. Chazat avi rogil bishrogi tuva. He saw that Rabbi Ovin was very, very careful and meticulous about Ner. Maybe he added a lot of new Neros. Let's say, quote Shabbos, he was Rogla Harbos Beneros Omar. And Rav Huna declared, Trey Gavri Ravrave Nafki Mihocha. Two great giants will come from this household. And indeed, this prophetic statement came to fruition. Nafki Minayu, who came from Rabbi Ovin and his wife, two Bonim Gedolim. They were Rav Idi Bar Ovin and Rav Chia Bar Ovin. Another story, Rav Chiz Davi Rogil, Davi Cholif Etoni Apiska, Debei Nasa. Rav Chiz was very Rogil to pass by the house of his father. And the Rav Shizbi, the father of Rav Shizbi, is Chazet Avi Rogil Bishrogi Tuvi. So the father of Rav Shizbi was very careful, and he would light many, many candles lechod Shabbos. Omar, so Rav Chizbi declared, Gavar Rabba Nofik Mihocha, a great man will come from this house. And in truth, that prediction came to fruition. Nofak Minayu Rav Shizbi. And Rav Shizbi was born to the father of Rav Shizbi. Now, Tosus points out that it says Davi Regile, which is in Lashon Rabin, that's his girsa. And that means that's referring to Rabbi Ovin Ve'ishto, that both of them together were Zor in the mitzvah of Ner. She would be Makpid on the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, and he on the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Or perhaps that he himself lit his own Ner Shabbos. So therefore Rav Huna says that Shnei Bonim Gedolim would come from them. In the second case of Rav Chizda, it says Havi Regila, which seems to imply that she, and only she, the mother of Rav Shizbi, was so makpid about Ner Shabbos. And therefore Rav Chizda said that she should be Zocha to one ben who would be a Gadol. The Besu de Rav Yosef Havim Achro Madlekesla. The wife of Rav Yosef would, in a sense, light a little bit late. We'll have a whole discussion about why she did so. And Omer Lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, no, that's not right. You should not be delaying the lighting of Ner Shabbos too close to Shabbos. Why? Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. And this price is talking about the Ananim, the holy clouds that accompany the people of Israel in the Midbar. In Shmos Perek Yud Gimel it says, Lo Yomish Amud Ha'anon Yomam V'Amud Ha'esh Laila Lefnei Ha'am, which means we're talking about the Amud Ha'anan, the cloud of glory that protected the people and accompanied them during the daylight hours, and the Amud Ha'esh, the pillar of fire, which would protect them during the nighttime hours. Now this pasuk is totally superfluous. It already says in the pasuk right before this, "Vashem olech lefneim yomam ba'amud ha'anan lanachosa ba'derech and laila ba'amud ha'esh lahoyer lahem." So what is this extra pasuk? Says the Raisa Malame is coming to teach us, "Amud ha'anan mashlim li'amud ha'esh." In other words, the Amud ha'esh, the pillar of fire, would come to light up, to light it up for the people of Israel, the pillar of fire, and it came a little bit early, meaning it was still light out. So let's say it was towards the evening. We really need the Amud ha'esh to light up the evening sky, but the Amud ha'esh would come a little bit earlier, mibodyom, before it was lila, and before the Amud ha'anan was mistalik. So basically there was an overlap of the Amud ha'esh and the Amud ha'anan, both at the same time. Amud ha'esh, which is dedicated for the nighttime, mashlim li Amud ha'anan. In other words, the Amud ha'anan, which came l'nachosam baderech, was makdim uba, it came when it was still lila, before daybreak. And the flip side is also true, that the Amud ha'esh would come earlier in the evening, even before the Amud ha'anan finished its function. And what Rav Yosef wants to accomplish by quoting this brisa is that just like the Amud ha'esh came earlier, before it was nighttime, so too the Hadlakas Ner Shabbos, which sort of has the same purpose as the Amud ha'esh to light up the dark night, we should be lighting it before the time for Hadlaka of the Ner, of the even when the Amud ha'anan means it's still mibodyom, it's still light out. Now once his wife, Rav Yosef's wife, heard this, Svara, she thought lakduma, that she should learn light Ner Shabbos very early. Amalah Ha'usaba, one of the great scholars, said to Tanina, we learn in the Brisa, "Bavachlo yakdim v'lo ya'acher." You shouldn't make it light the Shabbos candles too light, too late. Excuse me, but you also at the same time shouldn't be lighting it too early. Now the question that the Mefarshim ask is, what was the Besu of Rav Yosef thinking? Why did she light so late? And they offer an answer that it all depends on how you understand Tosefes Shabbos. We have a mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos, and where the Ner Shabbos should be lit at the beginning, right before Tosefes Shabbos, or at the end of Tosefes Shabbos. And she, the wife of Rav Yosef, was under the misimpression that Tosefes Shabbos comes first, and at the tail end of Tosefes Shabbos, right before Chashecha, before it gets dark, that's when she should be lighting Ner Shabbos. But in truth, what Rav Yosef was trying to tell his wife is that the lighting of Ner Shabbos should not sync with the end of Tosefes Shabbos, but rather with the beginning of Tosefes Shabbos. She understood maybe he meant even before Tosefes Shabbos. And then they pointed out, wait a minute, you're lighting too early. And Bavad Shalom Yakti. Now, once we quoted this maimer of Rav Huna, now again, it's not so clear in the thinking process of the Besu de Rav Yosef why she would have thought to light Ner Shabbos at the end of Tosefes Shabbos. Maybe she understood that Tosefes Shabbos was only for the mitzvah saseh, and it wasn't mechayev her in the Iser Malacha of Havara. I'm not exactly sure about that. Amar Rava, the Rochim Rabbanan, someone who loves Talmidei Chacham, Havi Le Bonim, Rabbanon, he'll have children that are Talmidei Chacham. Demokir Rabbanon, he who is Machavid, he honors Talmidei Chacham, Havile Chasmanosa Rabbanon. He'll have Chasanim who are Talmidei Chacham. So it's really interesting, because if he both loves Talmidei Chacham and respects and honors them, and he has daughters and he has sons, so hopefully his sons will be Talmidei Chachamim for Ava, and his daughters will marry Chasanim who are Talmidei Chacham because of the kavod. Then it says the dochil merabbanon, if he's afraid, he has a certain awe of Talmidei Chacham, a very intense kind of respect for Talmidei Chacham, is hu gufei havitzur merabbanon, the reward is that he himself will be a Talmud Chacham. V'ilav bar hachi, who if he's not capable of becoming a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't spend that time in Esek HaTorah, then his schar will be dimishatman, dimishtaman mile, that people will listen to what he has to say, kitzur mim rabbanon, will respect his opinions as if he were a Talmud Chacham. Just like he's afraid or in awe of Talmud Chacham, so will be zochel that other people will be on him, in awe of him, and they'll accept his words. And this, my friends, leads us to the sugya of Shemen Sreifa. I mean, this is a big sugya unto itself. And it begins here on the bottom of Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, the last of the thin lines and the beginning of the wider lines. And basically the yesod here is going to be that on Yontif, we're going to have a whole discussion here about Yontif, there's going to be an Iser of Kudshim, of destroying Kudshim on Yontif. And Shemen Sreif is going to be a case of Kudshim, it's Trumash and Nitma. And Ein Sarfen Kudshim B'Yontif. So that principle called Ein Sarfen Kudshim B'Yontif is going to be, in Mirtz Hashem, the subject of the next sugya. So take this opportunity to wish everyone a great Shabbos, so we should only hear better news.